My friends, in Jesus' grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Again, the words of the gospel reading as we ponder the great mystery of God coming to be one of us. Mary had been told that she would be the mother of the child, and her response to the angel is this: "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mystery of your love, a mystery that puts us in awe of your grace for us, that you would come down. And so, O Lord, we pray that that mystery would ever inspire us until the day when that mystery finally becomes vision and we see you face to face. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, some mysteries are meant to be solved, like when my siblings and I went to an escape room with my sister over in the Akron area. And if you've ever been to an escape room, you know what I'm talking about. You have to solve all of these puzzles within an hour's time to make it out alive. Or a mystery novel will give you clues and hints so that maybe by the last few pages of the book, you might have figured out the mystery. So we're willing even to pay money for escape rooms and novels and such to bring mystery into our lives. We are intrigued by mystery. But some mysteries are not meant to be figured out. They are simply there for us to marvel at and to fill us with wonder. And that's the kind of mystery that confronts us in the Holy Scriptures, and especially in the Advent and Christmas texts of Scripture. Now, to be sure, there are lots of clues and hints, prophecies about Jesus coming, and then there are all the stories of what Jesus said and did that tip us off as to his greater purpose in coming. And yet these mysteries are not put before us with the intent that we figure them out or that we get Jesus all figured out. These mysteries are there for us simply to marvel at. They're meant to fill us with wonder at how great is the love and the mercy that God would have for people like us. I don't know, I think in the world today, maybe there's a general lack of mystery, which I don't think is a good thing. Through the discipline of science, we have figured out so much. And we think that we can figure out everything, and that we should figure out everything. But in some ways, we're not richer, but poorer for that. Richer, perhaps, in knowledge, but poorer in life and in spirit, because we need mystery in our lives. Mystery inspires wonder and awe, and without that, life is dull and flat. To have room for mystery in our lives is to acknowledge that there's something bigger than us out there, something greater than our ability to comprehend, and to have room for mystery is also to have room for God. Because you see, that insatiable need to figure out everything, to know everything, is really that ancient desire in us to be like God and to have that God-like attribute of omniscience, to be completely knowledgeable about everything without mystery. But we aren't God. And Satan's promise to our first parents in Genesis that you can be like God is just as much a lie now as it was then. And that's not to say that science and knowledge are bad in any way. I'm not saying that. They're not. I, for one, am thankful, for example, that we know now how a disease spreads among us. Unlike in the Middle Ages, that was a mystery. And they couldn't do anything about it, but now we can, because that mystery is solved. But at the same time, There are, and there will always be, things that are beyond our understanding. Things that are bigger than us. And that's okay. And I would say that's good. Advent calls us back to mystery. It calls us to things that are beyond us. Things that, for us, create marvel and wonder in our hearts. As God said through His prophet Habakkuk, "Look and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told." Advent calls us back to that kind of mystery. For God has done a work among us that is truly wonderful and mysterious, so much so that most people don't even believe it if they are told. The mystery of a love so deep that God would come in our flesh and be born as one of us to live in poverty, in humility. The mystery of His conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. The mystery of God in the manger. How can this be? And yet faith sees that it is so. So first of all, the mystery of His love. How do you explain His love? Match.com and eHarmony think that they have this mystery all figured out with their algorithms and their compatibility indices. But there is more to love than simply checking the same boxes on a computer screen or simply being alike or having similar interests. How else do you explain two people loving each other despite knowing each other's annoying habits and faults and failures? Love must leave room for mystery. And how much more so with God? Match.com would never match up man with God. God is altogether perfect, and He demands perfection. How can anyone live with that? But that's where the mystery of love comes into play. That God loves those whom He has made, even though they have rejected Him and are far from perfect. And that brings us to the second mystery of God in the flesh, in human flesh. That in this baby lying there in the manger, as we just read, there dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Not just part of God, not a third of God, but all of God, the fullness of the deity in that child, a tiny infant whose eyes are not even open yet, is the God who sees all things. A newborn, weak and totally dependent, is the Almighty and infinite God. The babe who must learn to walk and talk and eat and drink is the God who can do all things. The God who is keeping the planets in their orbit, who calls all the stars by name, as we heard in the Old Testament reading, the God who provides food for every creature. And there He is in the manger. God did not become a superhuman man or a superhero like the gods of Greek and Roman mythology, but just a man like us. We know this. We say it. And yet it remains the world's greatest mystery. And then there is the mystery of the God who comes down to us. All the way down, like we just sang in the hymn. Instead of telling us to climb up to Him by way of our efforts, as all the other gods do, He comes down to us. And He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. That's Hebrews chapter 2. He marched right down to the lowest position to love people like us. And before Him, we are all the same, all equal. Before Him, all power fails. Before Him, the high are brought low, the rich are made poor, the lowly are lifted up, Before him, everyone falls to their knees. This one who came in abject lowliness and lies in a manger. We know this, we say it, and yet it remains a mystery. And what's more is the mystery of the virgin birth. The mystery of the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit to conceive a child in the womb of Mary. It's a mystery even to Mary, isn't it? As we heard in our gospel reading today, when she asked, well, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? But in the end, Mary had room for mystery in her life. And she had faith in the words of God. And so it was done for her according to the word of the Lord. And later on, we read that Mary pondered these things and treasured them in her heart. That's the right response to mystery, to ponder, to be in awe. You know, if evolution is the way we have figured out life, we have no room for mystery anymore. But is life really just biology? Is life really just cells coming together, just chance mutations, and voila, there's you? Or is there more? More than we can account for. More than we can understand. And I think all of us would say, well, yes, yes, there is more to life. Life itself is a mystery. And yet, so many people keep searching for life on other planets, as though the evolution that happened here surely must have happened somewhere else in the universe. And the whole time they're looking up to the heavens, looking for life, they're missing the one who already came down from heaven, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Now we know that, and we say it, and yet it's still a mystery. You see, all of this and more is what we sing about in the Advent hymn when we say, a great and mighty wonder. Advent calls us to wonder, calls us back to mystery, to the mystery of this baby who is right before us and yet who is entirely beyond us. And yet, there he is for you, God in the manger, who came down in love and in our flesh, only then to be lifted up to the cross for us, to die for us, to pay for our forgiveness. What a mystery. God in the water of our baptism, for us, to wash us, to gift us with the righteousness of Christ himself that qualifies us for a place with God. What a mystery. The mystery of the words of a poor preacher, the mystery of common elements like bread and wine in which God comes for you. What a mystery. And you know, maybe that is the biggest mystery of all. That all of this is for you, for me, for us. Who are we that the Lord would consider us? Who are we that the God of the creation would care about us? And yet he does. It's the greatest mystery of our faith, and a joyful and a happy mystery at that, that fills us with wonder and awe. And if we have no room for mystery in our lives, then we have no room for Christ or for Christmas. And that would make us poor indeed. Christmas is a mystery. It is a marvel and a wonder. It's beyond our understanding. And yet, it's true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.